393. Pray about everything. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 393.
I see at the bottom of this song, Dr. John R. Rice. Joy Rice Martin is his daughter. I heard Dr. Howell tell the story that when they would preach together, they would sleep in the same hotel room. Dr. Howell said the first time that he slept with Dr. Rice in that room, he was so intimidated. So he decided he's going to read the whole book of Psalms and the whole book of Proverbs just to impress Dr. Rice. So they get to the room, they've preached, it's late. He gets in bed, he opens his Bible, he looks over at Dr. Rice. Dr. Rice said, "That's it." He fell back and fell asleep. He said, "I thought he'd be real spiritual, you know, and read half his Bible and pray." He said, "But he did get up early and he did pray." So I don't know, that sounds good to me, right? Hit the bed, that's it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can gather. Thank you that we can pray. I hope that we will not just sing that song, but I hope that our lifestyle will be that we pray about everything. You said, pray without ceasing. And we need to do that. We need to do it because you said it. But we need to do it because we need it. Lord, work tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to sing. I pray it will be sweet and special. I pray our hearts will be challenged. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 371 in your hymnals, "Even So, Lord Jesus, Come." Page 371.
In a world of fear and turmoil, in a race that seems so hard to run, Lord, I need thy rich infilling. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus come. Even so, Lord Jesus come. My heart doth long for thee. Though I failed and betrayed thy trust, even so, Lord Jesus come.
Ushers, will you come? If you're Emma, do you have guests with you? Would you introduce them? See how she's doing that? So cool. And a couple of, wait, Wesley and Alex. Good to have you. Good to have you. Got a bulletin? Would you write down another prayer request? I haven't heard anything about Cheryl Flatt. Keep praying for the Troy Ryder family. Donna Ramsbottom. Ed, she's still in the hospital. Okay, pray for her that she can get well and go home. And then add this name. No relation. The name is Bill Sheets. Bill Sheets. If you were at Ken Kaufman's funeral, he was one of the speakers. He was a good friend of Ken's. He fell, hit his head. They x-rayed it. And if he was here, I would say they found nothing. But they did find a tumor, not from the fall, but they found, and they are doing brain surgery on him. Bill Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S. Correct, Shirley? Bill Sheets, good guy. Pastors of church in Bunker Hill, Indiana. Bunker Hill. That's better than Lakeville. Where are you from, Lakeville? Where are you from, Bunker Hill? That just sounds better, so I might move there, start a church. If you could stay tonight, afterwards, I promise you, we're going to go quick. We're missing two deacons, so we got to go quick. The law says if you've got two deacons missing, you got to go real quick. We're going to just... It's an informational meeting. Let you know how we did 2023, which seems like 4 years ago. But we're going to let you know and then tell you what's going to happen. And so and keep praying. There are people missing. Pray. If you see someone not here, pray for them. Continue to pray for those that, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Cheryl Flatt. I don't know what kind of surgery she had. I don't want to keep bothering Larry, so he'll let me know, but just pray for her recovery and pray that Troy Ryder's dad called me. I'm hope, I don't like to hope to do funerals, but I hope I get to do that one. Be a lot of people there, a lot of young people, and so if the Lord allows me to, I would be honored. They're going to have a celebration of life, and I'm hoping, I know the mom and dad well, so I'm hoping that just pray about that. But pray for them as they go through this time. 53 years old, boom, boom. Just he's gone, and I don't know where the parents are at. I don't know where a lot of the family's at spiritually. But you don't know that couldn't happen to you. You've got to be ready. Got to know you're going to be with the Lord. You got to know you know him. He may not give you that last minute. You may not have that. You may not be hanging on a cross dying where you could say, Lord, remember me. You may not get that. You may just be going on with your life and then all of a sudden, but you had your chance. So make sure you take the chance. If you haven't, pray with me, would you? Our Father, we know that you love us so much. I mean, it's an insult to you if we don't trust you. You sent your son. You said, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name, the only begotten Son of God. So, Lord, we are glad. I'm just honored, thrilled, humbled that you would want me to be with you forever, that you would send your own son Lord, if there's anyone here not sure of that, I pray that they'll get it and figure it out. Lord, please help us to see that you made us. You didn't make us so we can do what we want. You made us so that we trust you and serve you and follow you. Work in our hearts tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
choir. Please take your hymnals once again. 394, I Need Thee Every Hour, page 394. Let's all stand, shall we? Is coming to play a special.
Windows were ready to crack. Proverbs chapter 1. Hurry up. We're in a hurry. Proverbs 1. Hurry up. Hurry up. We got to go. Beautiful day today, wasn't it? Man, supposed to snow tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Would you be surprised? Not here. Not here. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Thanks, Abby. I appreciate those that use their talents for the Lord. Some of you don't have any, but you sit real well. God has gifted you with that ability. Thank you for your gift of sitting. If you play kazoo or anything, get it out. I'm glad that I think Milo ought to do something, though. He just sits there. Right? train them to, I don't know, a ukulele. Anybody can play a ukulele. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm just, one of my gifts is stirring the pot, and I don't want to neglect that gift. Proverbs chapter 1. Hurry up. Proverbs chapter 1. If you'll read with me, would you do that? This is an amazing. How many of you read the book of Proverbs every day? You read the corresponding, one of the greatest decisions I made in my Christian life. I read, of course, today was the 14th chapter. I think, is today the 14th? I mix it up, man, right? It's March, right? Stop. Proverbs chapter 1, got it? God, I want you know how we read, right? We don't just read and get it over with. We read it because it's reading. The scripture is the main event. Got it? Proverbs chapter 1. Let's start at verse 22. You got to really latch on to what's happening here. Solomon writes this whole book. He writes this first chapter. His goal is to be instructive. I love this first chapter. I love verse 5. I want to be wise. I'm not wise, I want to be. Solomon writes, a wise man will hear. I don't know how many of you struggle with hearing. Huh? I struggle. And I don't mean physically. I mean intellectually. There's a terrible trap. And I don't know if it gets worse as you get older. But it's easy to assume about yourself that you know everything you need to know. Not that you know everything there is to know. But I've met a lot of people that know all they want to know. And I've decided in my life, I want God to instruct me. I want to be teachable. So Solomon writes, right, verse 5 right off, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So when you're wise, no matter what age, you're always learning. And the best place to learn from the scriptures. He said, a man, verse 5, a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So that verse sounds contrary, but what he's saying is, you're never as wise as you need to be. You should always want to be wiser. He gives good advice through this chapter. He says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We want knowledge, but we don't do too well when it comes to fearing the Lord. Watch me. If we really feared the Lord, we would do exactly what he tells us to do. Look at me. I'm trying to brainwash you subliminally. If we really feared God, we'd be reading his word like crazy. We'd be praying like crazy. We'd be in his house. We'd be telling people about him. We would go all out. The fear of the Lord. If we really believe that we're going to answer to God, we would gain knowledge. We would say, wow, I know that. Then he goes on, but fools. He uses that word in this chapter a few times. But fools. I don't want to be a fool. He said, verse 7, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I've met some people I'd never call a fool, but I've met some people who act like fools. because they don't want to learn anything. They don't want to be taught. Let's get to verse 22. Are you there? Verse 22. How long? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Simplicity there is not gaining wisdom and knowledge. And when I looked up the Hebrew word, it's the word that we get our word silly. So he's saying there, how long will you love being silly and not get serious and not grow and not gain knowledge and not gain wisdom? How, look at it, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning? That scorning means to ridicule, to treat things like that's just crazy. That's ridiculous. That's basically what's happening if you're not gaining something from God, the wisdom of God, then you're a fool and you are despising, as he said in verse 22, you are delighting in being ridiculous. And then he finishes that and he says, and fools hate knowledge. Now think about what he's saying there. You've heard this. Let's say it again. Your life is a series from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. Your life is a series of choices. We're constantly choosing. You got to choose right. A wrong choice will take you the wrong way. Notice how Solomon approached, how long? He said, been long enough. How long? How long will you keep doing this? You're loving that which is not wisdom. You're loving the simplistic. No growth. Paul said that I may know him. You'll never know all there is to know of Jesus Christ. Never. So you keep striving. I need to know more. I need to grow. Verse 23 is kind of like, bam. He says, turn you. The solution. Turn you at my reproof. See verse 23? Turn you. In other words, turn around. If you're going the wrong way, don't pray about it, don't think about it, don't get advice about it. Turn and go the right way. Oh, Pastor, it's just not that easy. Yes, it is. If you're not so stubborn, making up excuses, blaming your weakness or the way you're wired. Yeah, but I'm just not that. Then ask God to make you the way he wants you to make. He wants to make you. He writes, verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. We don't have what we need to live how we're supposed to live. But he does. But we won't get it till we turn. That doesn't seem like a big deal. Let's throw the guys under the bus. The wife says you're out driving. Nothing looks familiar. You don't know. I mean, now you can't do that because you can get that lady that lives in your phone. She'll tell you exactly where to go. But it used to be before that when we're looking through maps and atlases. Your wife would say, are you sure you're going the right way? And a guy will not say, I'm not sure. It's not in their vocabulary. he'll say something like this. Not me, but all the rest of y'all. He'll say something like this. Don't worry about it. That means I'm dumb, but don't want to admit it. I mean, he should be saying, we're lost. But no. Goes way out of his way. Well, all he has to do, a woman will just immediately turn around. Right? Pull in. I'm not sure where I'm going. Can you hear where you're going? Sure. A guy's like, that doesn't grow hair in your chest. If I stop, all the hair in my chest will fall off. Listen to me. You and I get spiritual when we turn. But the devil will tell you that's weakness. That's not weakness. That's godliness. I lost a lot of friends when I got saved. Because the friends that I hung with when I did the things that lost people do, I something in me said when I turned to Christ, I should do that. So they didn't turn with me. None of them turned with me. But I turned. They made fun of me. They said, what happened? I said, I got saved. Oh, you got saved. They made fun of me. Because I turned. Best, you know who they call now when they get in trouble? You know who they call now when their kids get in trouble? You know who they call now when they don't know what to do? The one that turned. You see, it's not that big of a deal. When he says in verse 23, turn you. It's admitting you need to turn. It's having the humility to turn to God. Verse 23, he said, I'll give you my spirit. I will make known my words unto you. The thing you and I need more than anything is what he said. God wrote a book. This is the only book that counts. If you and I make the choices we're supposed to make, we need to get God's words on what we should do. Verse 24. Because I've called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. What's he saying there? He's saying it's possible not to turn. Right? Am I right? Come on. Some of you, I shouldn't do that. Boy, I waited too long. Shouldn't do what God said. Yes, you should. Nobody likes reproof. So verse 23, when he talks about reproof there, we immediately say he's making me feel dumb. You're dumb if you don't turn. You're not dumb that you're getting reproved. You're dumb if you don't correct what he showed you. I don't know how to lay it out any simpler. You know, I'm going to just dump the bucket on you and make sure you get wet. Do you understand? He's saying if he calls, verse 24, if he calls and you refuse, he said, if I stretch out my hand to help you and you don't regard that, he said, verse 25, ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Verse 26 is one of the most tragic verses in the entire scripture. Verse 26, see it? I, look at it. I also will laugh. Hey, God's serious. You say no to God, God says, look, there's going to come a point When you really need help, when you really get it, when you ought to get it sooner, he said, verse 26, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. Doesn't sound like God, does it? I think it's fair. You keep driving when your low fuel light comes on. You run out of gas. Who do you blame? The light. Right? Oh, the light, the light. Man, the light went on so you'd get gas. You ever see a guy carrying a gas can? They're never dancing. They're never rejoicing. It's always the walk of shame. And I got to tell you, I just want to roll out my window and go, you dumb bell. Hey, I thought I had more gas than that. Well, when that light goes on, the light's saying, play it safe, get gas. God is saying in verse 26 that he's given us plenty of warning. Plenty of opportunities to get smart, get wise. Get wisdom. He said, I will mock when your fear cometh. When you get scared, I'm going to scare you worse. I'm going to mock the fact that you're scared because you don't need to be scared. When you have calamity, I'm going to laugh because you don't need to have calamity. That's a pretty fair warning, isn't it? Verse 27. When your fear, watch this, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. You've seen the damage that tornadoes do. That wind just picks stuff up. Like that nice roof you paid all that money for that doesn't leak. You let a whirlwind come around, it's gone. It doesn't go, it paid a lot of money. And God is saying, if you and I don't heed, listen, if we don't heed him, man, our destruction is going to happen like that. And we'll go, what happened? What happened? Look at verse 27. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, it gets worse. Verse 28. Then shall they call upon me. Finally. Hurrah. No, no. Look at verse 28. But I will not answer. We don't like to talk about this aspect of God. We do not like to think that there's a hell where lost people go that refuse Christ. There's a hell. I didn't say I enjoy thinking about it. That's a fact of the Bible. When the rich man died and went to hell, the fact is he went to hell. Well, I don't believe in hell. Doesn't matter. You will. Or you'll learn. You'll see someone when you're in heaven. You go to heaven and you see people. Look, it's a fact that there comes a point when God says, I don't know when that point is. I know he has a long fuse. But there comes a point when God says, that's it. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to find out where that is for me. Your kids ever do that to you? Clean your room. All right. Clean your room yet? Not yet. I said, clean your room. I'm going. How's it coming? I'm just about ready to start. How you coming in there? Something else came up. Don't tell me you never blew a gasket. Huh? Hem there, hem hawing. I told you to clean your room. Oh, you mean you wanted me to clean it? If you had normal kids, that's how they talk. I mean, that's normal. That's not crazy. They're not demon possessed. They're just immature possessed. We all did it. Notice verse 28, the Lord says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. That's horrifying. That's horrifying. To get to that point where you finally realize, I need help, and God says, no, no. You had your chance. That's why the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not, notice the word, choose the fear of the Lord. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, watch this. This to me is a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit sass. Because when he uses own way, look at verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Own way there is a Hebrew word that means road. So whatever road you choose, he said, yes, you'll eat the fruit of that, but it can't be very tasty. You'll make your own decisions. You'll eat, he says, verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. But it won't work. It's no good. It's no good, verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Verse 33, but, man, it has been depressing up to verse 33, right? Destruction, whirlwind, eat your road. Now he says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I want to pray. Lord, I ask you to speak to me. I want to say what I'm supposed to say, but I want to hear all of it, and I want you to deal with me as I say it, because I don't want to just say it for them. I know it's your word and it's for me. So, Lord, speak to me. Speak to all of us, of course. Speak to those who are not here but are watching, and help our choices to be good choices based upon our love for your word. I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua said, chapter 24 and verse 15, choose you this day. And that means every day make the right choice. When Adam and Eve were confronted with a choice, God said this, of all the trees of the garden, I know you know this. He said, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But the tree which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. Do you get it? I mean, don't you read that and go, Adam and Eve, what's wrong with you? So when they are given the choice in Genesis chapter 3, they both choose evil, even though they didn't have to. Did you hear me? They didn't have to. They decided to despise what God said. Because God told them, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, for the day that thou eatest thereof, of that tree, thou shalt surely die. That's pretty plain. Like, what did God mean when he said die? He meant, it's over. They had the opportunity to do the right thing, and they did not. They have two boys, Cain and Sugar Cain, or Cain and Abel. I'm just trying to see if you're listening. They have Cain and Abel. Abel decides to offer God what he wants. Cain decides to offer what he wants. That's what life is. Life is either you giving God what you want to give him, or life is you giving God what he wants. Sometimes it's hard to give God what he wants, but it's right. Cain decides to kill his brother, and God said to Cain, if thou doest well. Genesis 4, read it. Read it later. If thou do, in other words, that meant that Cain had the ability to do well, but he chose not to. You blame other things. Every dumb decision you make was you. Well, it's the way I was brought up. Stop that. Do you realize when God has had it with the world, he finds Noah. God says to Noah, I'm done. I'm gonna destroy man that I created. Noah said, wow, oh no, what can I do? God said, you build a boat. Man, that's a big project, wasn't it? And knowing you're going to be on it, wouldn't you kind of be extra careful about making it leak-proof? No wonder it took him 120 years to build the thing. A woman could have had it done in 20 years, but it took him 120 years. Huh? Looking at it, it didn't look right. You know? I mean, it's a boat. No, it's going to save your life. Don't worry about it. He's polishing the thing. Who cares? Who's going to see it? Do you realize? In spite of all the evil that's around Noah, when God says in Genesis 6 that the thought and imagination of every heart was only evil continually, Noah said, uh-uh. Noah said, I'm going to walk with God. And he did. Abraham, when God first finds Abraham in Genesis 12, he tells him to leave his country. He tells him to go on a trip. And Abraham said, man, I like trips. And God said, I'm going to tell you where you're going. And Abraham said, where are we going? And God said, I'm not going to tell you yet. And Abraham said, well, where am I supposed to go? He said, just trust me with every step. And when you get there, you'll know it. That'd be a hard choice, wouldn't it? Just start driving. Where are we going? Don't worry about it. Sounds like a guy, doesn't it? Well, I need to know where to go. Just head this way. I'll tell you if you're supposed to turn. Man, I hate trips like that, don't you? I like to know where I'm going. But God decides that Abraham can handle it, and he could. And in Genesis 22, when he gave him that boy that was going to be blessed, now God says, I want you to offer him like a burnt sacrifice. Abraham said, I trusted you when you told me to leave and I didn't know where I'm going, and I'm going to trust you now. He made that choice. A man by the name of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39 made a choice to do what he should do even though he didn't understand it. Why am I here? Why would my brothers hate me? Why would my brothers sell me? Why am I a slave in Egypt? Why am I in jail? I said no to Mrs. Potiphar. Why am I in jail? See, sometimes your choices always don't make sense to you, but they make perfect sense to God. I mean, we see then, God sees here. Joseph said, I'm in jail and I didn't do anything. And God said, that's your training so that you can run all of Egypt. I'm right, aren't I? I mean, you know the story. Joseph had to make the choice to have the Lord with him. Hey, remember that? The Lord was with him. You and I can have God with us. Every decision you make, every choice you make. Hebrews 11 tells us that Moses had to make a choice. He could have been the king of Egypt. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He called running Egypt a pleasure of sin because it is compared to what God can do. We're talking about lining up to hug people today in heaven. I got a lot of close people I want to hug, but I'd like to meet Moses, wouldn't you? Hey, nobody had the Christian life Moses had. Hello? Moses made a decision because he wanted to. He wanted to make a decision that would honor God. And he didn't make a decision that was a blessing. He made a decision, the Bible says, was afflicting. David made a choice. He made a choice to fight a giant when nobody else would. He made a choice to risk his life. There were people all around David who were bigger than David, who were better warriors than David, but there was nobody around David who had the faith that David had. That's what I want. Saul said, you can't go out there like that. David said, yeah, I can. Saul said, you got to wear my armor. So David said, all right. Then he couldn't walk. He said, this isn't going to work. Saul said, if you take that armor off, you're a dead dog for sure. I'm pretty sure I read that story. I'm pretty sure the big guy, the one that had the guy with the shield in front of him, we never hear about what happened to the shield guy, but I'm sure he's still running. David made a bad choice in his life when he didn't go to battle. And he saw something he should have never saw. He saw something that stirred his emotions. You know what's crazy about that story about him wanting Bathsheba? He had several wives. No offense, ladies. I mean, what woman would be dumb enough to marry one man? Why would several women? I mean, that's craziness, isn't it? I don't get it. Who would want to share? Who are you? I'm David's wife. Well, I'm David's wife. Who are you? I'm David's wife. Tell the truth. Sounds like tell the truth, right? Who are you? I'm David's wife. No, you're not. I am. I am too. Well, I am too. And then he goes and he wants another one? That wasn't the choice he was supposed to make. Daniel was given the choice, even though he didn't want to be in Babylon, he was given the choice to eat certain food and drink certain drink, and he said, I'd rather not. If you just give us, call it what you want, if you just give us, you know, do you know what barley green is? You drink it, it's supposed to make you healthy. Makes you throw up, and then you get healthy. It tastes like chopping up grass. I mean, can you imagine? I like looking at grass. I don't want to drink it. What's that, grass? I'm not talking about grass. I'm talking about grass. Hey, you got to be careful what grass you say now. Like I always say, Amy's brother, you know, sells grass. Sod. I mean, when you used to say that, it was like, oh. Now it's like, oh. No. So Daniel says, if you give us weeds, if you give us something so simple, oatmeal, grits, mush, we don't need the fancy meal. We don't need the fancy drink. And he did that because his heart was right and he wanted to please God. Read that chapter, Daniel 1. The king said, you guys are 10 times better than anything I've got. See, the right choice is always the best choice. The right choice. The devil will tell you that you don't have the power to make that choice. But God gave you and I that power. You just have to, as he puts it, verse 23, turn. It's amazing how hard that can be sometimes. Notice three things. Number one, these are going to go quick. Hang on, jot some things down. Ready? Number one, don't be silly. Did your mom ever say that to you? My mom never said silly. She always said, you're crazy. And I am. But guess who I got it from? They forget that. Hey, they always act like, where did you come from? You. Where did you learn that? You. Now follow me. Every decision that you and I make cannot be silly. It has to be equal or matching with the Bible. You don't get to heaven because you think you ought to do this. You get to heaven because the decision you made matches what God said. Ye must be born again. Yeah, but I think it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God said. We have to decide that we're going to base our life on God. What is our final authority? My final authority is this book. Doesn't matter what anybody, doesn't matter what laws they pass. The truth of God never changes. If God said something was wrong 10,000 years ago, it was wrong 5,000 years ago, 500 years ago, and it's still wrong today. But they keep telling us it's normal. It is not normal if you don't like being a boy that you have surgery to be a girl. That is not, just because they say it, you say the government's probably watching this. Good. I hope they watch them all. In fact, I'm going to make them. You can't. They can't call me and go, we saw that one sermon. One, you watch them all, then we'll talk. What is normal? If God says something's wrong, it's wrong. Say, there are people a lot smarter than you. Yeah, but they're not smarter than God. And I have, watch, I have this ability. Look what he says, verse 23. When we turn, when he reproves us or shows us the correct, reproof there means correction or show us the correct way. When I am willing to turn to the correct way, verse 23, he said, I will pour out my spirit. That's God. That isn't him saying, I'll make you a little smarter. I don't want to be a little smarter. I want God. So he says, I'll pour out my spirit. Look at verse 23. I will make known my words unto you. You want to know what to do? God will show you. You got to turn. Hey, you can't say, well, show me first, then I'll turn. Nope. Got to turn first. Don't be silly. That's what verse 22 is saying. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Grow, gain, make good decisions, get blessed by God. Don't be silly. What does God say about it? Number two, point two. These are my points. Don't worry about it. Just get the point I'm trying to make. Don't worry about getting the point. Get the point I'm trying to make. Okay? Second point I'm trying to make is this, with this point. God is not stupid. If you don't do what God wants you to do, God doesn't go, huh, I didn't see that. Did you ever get away with something? Did you ever think you got away with something, but your parents knew about it? They kind of bring it up subtly, like, I knew that. Like, you did? We thought we were so clever. God isn't stupid. Doesn't matter what other people think. Matters what God thinks. If I make my decisions based upon, listen, some of you need to listen. If I make my decisions based upon what other people think, it's probably the wrong decision. What you are in public, what you are in private, are supposed to match. If they don't match, you're a you're a hypocrite. Get it? What's in your heart? What's lived out in your life ought to be the same. The world mocks God because we mock God. We act like Christians on Sunday until we get to the restaurant. Ask any waitress, who's your worst crowd? What's your worst day? Sundays. They never hesitate. I said, church crowd, church crowd. I said, please accept my apology for all of us. It's quiet in here, and it ought to be. But we're going to hit a dog in a minute with a stone, and he's going to yelp. God is not stupid. You can't do something that he says is wrong and not expect consequences. That's what verse 27 is saying. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, verse 32, the turning away of the simple, if you are not going toward God, he said, shall slay them, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Every decision we make has consequences. God will forgive you when you confess your sin, but that doesn't remove the consequences of that sin. Some things you may not think are evil, but they are not necessary.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
That's not the point. Listen to me. It's not a matter of good and bad. It's a matter of what? Listen, it's a matter of what is best. What is best? Our decisions ought to be made not just between good and evil, but between good and the best. Are you listening? Because I can kick up a fuss more. The Christian life is not about just not doing bad things. The Christian life is about making God look so good because you do everything the best you can because he's worth the very best. And people got mad at me for saying that, but that's okay. Because I'm over it. They need to get over it.
Oh, well, you know, well.
Don't fuss with me. I'm just telling you, when you get to heaven, you're going to go, boy, I wish, don't you hate that song? I wish I'd given him more. The question is not, is there anything wrong with it? The question is, will it make me a better Christian? God isn't stupid. Number three, we're done. Your decisions are important. Why? Because you have to eat them. Isn't it great? Look at the word. Verse 31, therefore they shall eat. I don't know what you've eaten that's really bad. I've eaten dirt before. It wasn't that bad. I've had food that's bad. I love cheesecake. I'll abbreviate this story. I love cheesecake. I know cheesecake. I am a capital C connoisseur of cheesecake. I've had them all. I've made them. I love them. I like to lick cheesecake. I like to eat cheesecake. I like to look at cheesecake. I like to smell cheesecake. I have cheesecake in my refrigerator right now. I led this guy to the Lord. When I first came here, he said, there's got to be something I can do for you. You've just helped God to come in my life and change. What? He says, my wife can bake cakes. Do you want a cake? I said, ooh, I don't like cake. And he goes, well, what do you like? I said, cheesecake. He goes, oh, she never has, but I'll have her try. She made a cheesecake. We went to the house. She brought it out. It looked, Amy, picture perfect. I learned early in my life, this is 30-some years ago, don't eat cheesecake warm. You know what's hard? When new Christians look at you and say, Pastor, how is it? How do you say, I'd rather go to hell for a year? Amy was crying. We're just trying to get it down. We're trying to be a testimony and a blessing to them. We finished up the night, had prayer, said, see you. She said, wait. I want you to take the rest home. I said to Amy, would we get arrested if we pitched it on the side of the road? She said, just put it in the fridge. We'll get rid of it later. We put it in the fridge. It sat there for weeks. I got brave. I said, I'm going to try it. Best cheesecake I ever had. You better be careful of what you decide. You better make sure that the decision that you're making, God's in it. Because everything else, you have to eat. Did your mom say this? Eat your peas. They're good for you. Eat your Brussels sprouts. They're good for you. Right? My mom, one food I will not eat. I'll tolerate. I've had alligator. I've had tongue. I've had snake. I do not tolerate sauerkraut. You Germans are just going to have to get over that. It's repulsive. The smell is bad. I mean, I'm sure that's what hell smells like. Sauerkraut. Follow me. God wants to be dominant in your life. The Bible says, Psalm 34 and verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't make decisions that aren't of God, you'll have to eat them. We struggle with the best as opposed to the easiest. What's easy? You know why we don't read our Bible? We know it's best. Look at me. Look at me. I want to give you the evil eyes. You know why we don't read our Bible? Because we don't have time. We know we need it. We know it's best. Just in a hurry. Or we take this route. And I'll remind you, verse 23, God said, you want to know what I say? I'll put my spirit in you so you get it. So don't pull your excuse on me. Well, you know, I just don't understand it. You're not supposed to. God wants to show it to you. The guy who wrote the book wants to say, hey, when you read it, I'm going to show you what it means. If you could read it and understand it, why would you need God? So you act like that's a legitimate excuse. Well, I don't understand what it means. Then that means you should pray. You should say, God, I don't get it. In your life, you're going to be tempted to settle for second best. In your life, you're going to be tempted to make decisions without consulting what God says. I can't wrap this up real simple. You've got to begin this journey of getting in this book and know what God says and live accordingly so that you make good decisions. Let me wrap it up this way, though. I do have a conclusion. Listen very carefully. What you love makes your decisions. The Bible says, love not sleep. In church, it means. Read Psalm 119. David said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You want to make good decisions? Love this book. Turn the television off. Read that book. Turn the news off. Turn the computer off. Put your phone down. See, I'm offended now. Let me say it again then. Put your phone down. Pick up this book. Say, God, I need your spirit. I need you to show me what you say so that I make good decisions. And if you love God's word like you should, you'll make great decisions. Period. That's guaranteed. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, I'm praying for every person in this room. I'm praying for every person if they're in the nursery, if they're watching on camera live stream. I'm praying that they will say tonight, I want to love God so much that my decisions are easy because I know he's showing me what he wants, what he means. I'm going to make my decisions according to the authority of God's word. I'm not going to try to guess. I'm not going to try to do what I want. I'm going to do exactly. If I don't like what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it because I trust God. I know that God is bigger, better, smarter than I am, so I need to do what God wants me to do. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. You say, preacher, before we leave tonight, I need to make a decision to love God's word so that I make good decisions. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Would you pray for me? That's a decision I need to make before we go. Would you pray? Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? I need to love God's word so that I make good decisions. Pastor, I'm not loving it like I should, but I want to. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? I want to love God's word so I make decisions according to his word. Thank you if you're not raising your hand. If you don't mean it, great. But if you mean it, just say, here's my hand. Preacher, here's my hand. Here's my hand. I want to make decisions based upon God's word, on God's word. Father, I pray tonight that you'll speak to everyone here and cause them to make a decision tonight to love your word, to turn when the Bible says turn, when it reproves us, to turn to that reproof, to get the correction. To fear the Lord enough to do exactly as the scriptures say. Cause that to happen in us tonight. Because I ask it in Jesus' name. Piano's playing. You're standing. You're standing. Unless you're coming. Unless you say, can I come up near the altar? Can I come up there and kneel and talk to God about this? I wish you would. I wish you would. Come on, come on, come on. You're standing, piano play. Just come up here. If you say, I can't kneel, stand then. Sit on the front pew. Just get up here and say, God, my decisions are so important, I got to eat them. So I want to make sure I make decisions that you want me to make. Spirit led. God said decisions. She's going to play it through one more time. If you need to come, would you? Well, on this, we're going to stop. But would you come? Would you make that choice? Say, I'm making that choice right now, right where I am. Good, great, great. Fantastic. Do you mean it? Something about walking an aisle, praying up here, just kind of puts you on the spot. Makes you accountable so that you do what you ought to do. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. We need to love it. Love it. Oh, we need to love it. And let it dominate our lives. I pray that will happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you come back if you're staying for the meeting? If you want to be in the meeting, that's fine with me. You can't talk if you're not a member. Wait, we're just going to try to get this real quick. We're going to get up, say hi, say goodbye, get a drink, come back.